Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Brewers Outlet Day, everybody. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere with great specials. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. The bags are right there at the register. And that pickle bar is second to none. I love the dill pickles. I love the barrels. Corey cut some up for me the other day. Tremendous. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Go over and stock up for the weekend now. It's going to be a big weekend. Carolina, Denver kind of whet the appetite for the NFL last night. And college football, including Penn State, Pitt, you want to stock up. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, KR Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, Yankees stay hot. They beat Tampa Bay last night. John Sterling on the Fan, WFAN.
Swung on, a high drive to right. That ball is high. It is far. And it's gone. Tyler Austin wins the game with a right center field walk-off home run with two outs in the ninth. Yeah, baby. And the Yankees have beaten Tampa 5-4, and the winning streak continues.
It sure does. The Yankees are red hot right now, and they're doing it with the kids. They have a great organization. They've been able to restock their organization, and it shows. They're doing really well. All right, tomorrow, Penn State at Pitt. Now, we have Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, on every week. Now, on Pittsburgh Sports Report, there are certain guys that cover certain areas. Actually, Tony's primary beat has been Pitt football for years. So it's great to get his perspective in there. But before we get rolling, Tony, on behalf of all of us, Sean, myself, the audience, we would like to wish you, in advance, a happy birthday.
Oh, I appreciate that very much. It's a coming as a bit of a surprise, but thank you very much. It's become a I get a lot of it's September 11th, the birthday, so I get a lot of "ooh, I'm sorry" when people find that out. But share it with a day that's not so great. But Pete Rose also broke the all-time hit record on that day, Steve.
That's exactly right. He did. But you know what? See, you didn't think we'd do any research on this show. We wanted to make.
I'm impressed.
You have been a valuable. You have been a valuable member of this show for years now, and we greatly appreciate you. So we want to wish you a happy birthday in advance.
Well, I appreciate it. And I appreciate being here.
There'll be no cash, no gifts, or anything like that. That's pretty much it. Welcome to the world of radio.
That's what I was going to say. I've been in this business a while. I understand that.
All right. The base of this is going to be about, obviously, Penn State Pitt, because you actually are the one that do a lot of the coverage of Pitt football for Pittsburgh Sports Report. Give me your evaluation of James Conner. I know it's one game. Did he have the feel, the burst? Because it's, everyone talks about the cancer part of it, but he's also coming off an MCL. That's actually what kept him out last season.
Right.
So what did you think of his feel for the game in the opener?
Well, he certainly looked rusty. I didn't think there was any question about that. There were times, especially watching the game live is one thing, and then watching a DVR review of it, and you really did see he's never a guy who's really stutter-stepped very much and gone side to side. And he did a little bit of that, especially early. He did less of it as the game wore on, which I took to be kind of a good sign. But he was definitely rusty. The other thing, I think the thing that's going to be the last thing to come back for him is going to be the conditioning. He had the knee injury, so he obviously was very limited during the season last year. And then he spent 6 months, you know, the next 6 months getting chemotherapy. So his strength was really, has really been sapped. Now I know he's working, you know, as hard as anybody, but I think the conditioning and I think the, you know, the game, you just can't simulate, that kind of, you know, that kind of game action. So I think it's going to take a little while for that to come back. You know, Russ was probably the thing I noticed the most.
What about Allison? I mean, he only had 7 carries in the game. You know, I know they wanted to get Connor a lot of work. Where is he right now in all this?
Well, you know, I think that's going to be the interesting thing, and that's going to be the balancing act that offensive coordinator Matt Canada has to work out. You know, I think that that's definitely going to be a challenge for him. And, you know, 7 carries, you know, from a guy who was used to carrying, you know, 24 times or more last year. And let's face it, if Connor's the guy that they think he can be and that he has been, Allison's carries are going to be very, very limited. You know, him getting double-digit carries, unless there's an injury, is not going to happen very often. Now, obviously, Pat Narduzzi would love to give one guy 25, the other guy 15, and somebody else 10. That means you're winning a lot of games. But the realistic, you know, realistically, that's probably not going to happen. So I think it's going to be a battle for Allison to stay focused, to stay fresh. And you know, that's going to be the challenge of it. The plus side is, you know, you probably will have some fresh legs from a guy who is used to running, you know, in intense ACC competition. So all that stuff said, it sounds great when you have all those backs and you have a deep stable of backs. It's a lot harder to, you know, to deal with that on a game-by-game basis, I think, than it looks on paper.
I've always felt that Tyler Boyd was to Nate Peterman what Allen Robinson meant to Christian Hackenberg. Robinson was the great bailout guy that Hackenberg could go to any time, and it made things, it just healed all wounds. Was that to Peterman? So where is the wide receiving group with now Boyd playing with the Bengals?
You know, I think that's a question that Pitt's coaches don't quite know the answer to yet. And I think it may be, you know, 2-3 games from now before they have a really good idea of exactly where they stand. Dontez Ford is a returning starter. He's a senior, and he had pretty good numbers last year. He averaged almost 20 yards a catch, but he had Tyler Boyd opposite him. He was facing a lot of one-on-one situations last year, so that opened things up for him. Now, he's got experience, and that's certainly a positive. But after him, you know, it really is a major question mark, and no one has really stepped up. The guy to watch, I would say, would be Quadri Henderson. He's a sophomore, yes. Not a big guy, plays in the slot, very athletic. I don't know if he's a deep threat exactly, but he's the kind of guy that has a lot of explosion, can take those little smoke screens and do something with them. So to me, he'd be the guy to watch. But again, Steve, I think that's a major question that, you know, after one game, the coaching staff doesn't have those answers to now. They'll certainly have more answers around 3:30 or 4:00 tomorrow than they do now.
Both teams will. And Henderson, by the way, will be probably one of the top 3 returners I think Penn State will see this year. I mean, Desmond King of Iowa is really special, yeah. Obviously. But he'll be one of the top 3 return guys they'll see all season that they have to somehow keep a handle on in this game. I thought Peterman did a great job of utilizing his tight ends in the opener. Was it a case that for him there's a comfort level there, or it was just, you know, that was what was available?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both. I think he does like to, you know, he does have a lot of faith in Scott Orndorff. Orndorff is not a starter, but he's he's a guy who's played for 4 years. He's got a lot of experience, so there is a comfort level. He can be, as much as, you know, tight ends can be deep threats, he can be that kind of a, I wouldn't say deep threat, but he's a guy that can get, you know, 10, 15, 20 yards downfield. For a tight end, that's a pretty nice chunk of yardage. So I think there's a lot of comfort there. He's a big guy, and I think especially for a team like Villanova, though, that's a difficult person to cover. I think when you're getting into these kind of games now, Penn State, Oklahoma State, North Carolina, et cetera, there are going to be more answers for Scott Orndorff than Villanova was able to provide. But that said, it wouldn't surprise me if Orndorff caught 5, 6, 7 passes a game because he does have that comfort level and the size and the hands to do so.
I told Penn State fans here on defense, check out the single-digit guys. Jarrett 6, yeah. Price 5, and Whitehead 9. Give me an idea what those 3 mean to what Pat Narduzzi wants to do.
Well, Jarrett, I think, is the guy. He's, you know, people are going to know the names Ewan Price and the names Jordan Whitehead, but Tyreek Jarrett's a guy who maybe has come the furthest over the past 2 years, certainly since Pat Narduzzi's been here. He was a city kid, a kid out of the Pittsburgh City an overweight guy who clogged up the middle, and Pat Narduzzi and his staff have, you know, the first thing they said when they saw him was, this guy can be better than he's been. And he had a solid year in that direction last year. His condition a ton, and now he can stay on the field, you know, for three straight downs, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're leaving on, you know, on third down every snap, that's a whole different defense now with him out there snap after snap, and I think he's going to be able to do that. You know, Ewan Price had a great year last year. You know, they call him the old man, Steve. He's been around. He's a sixth-year guy. Just had so many injuries, so many in the early part of his career. Came on to have double-digit sacks last year. He's an interesting guy to watch. He's a defensive end. Plays a lot of stand-up defensive end, so I guess you could call him an outside linebacker as well. Those are kind of interchangeable. He's not 6 foot tall. In fact, if he's 5'11", I'd be shocked. So he's a short guy coming off the edge, but he's got a lot of leverage because of that. So one thing that's going to be missing is Dwayne Hendricks, also a single-digit guy, number eight, who injured his foot in the Villanova game. He was a transfer from Tennessee who would be playing on the other side opposite Price. Haven't heard much about injuries this week, but it doesn't look like he's going to be available, and that's going to be a problem, I think, for Pitt, because when you had Price and you had Jarrett inside, and then you throw you know, the athleticism and the size of a guy like Dwayne Hendricks on that opposite side, that makes it very difficult to put two guys on any one of those linemen. Penn State probably won't have to worry about Hendricks. So that is one thing I think that's going to be a bit of a limitation for Pitt tomorrow defensively. That
probably would be what Rory Blair there. It would probably be, he'd be
correct.
Probably take that spot, yeah.
Exactly.
Tell us a little bit about Whitehead. Obviously, highly recruited by many people. What has made him a special player and what Pat wants to do?
He's physical. You know, he came in as a true freshman and was more physical than a lot of true freshmen are able to be. Obviously, he's very athletic. I think everybody that recruited him knew that. Everyone thought he was going to come in and play cornerback because of that athleticism, but he played strong safety last year. He can even step up and play linebacker because of that physicality that he brings. We didn't see him on offense last week. Pat Narduzzi obviously was not going to tip his hat this week, but something tells me, you know, Penn State's doing a little bit of study because he can play on the offensive side of the ball and at a completely different, you know, dimension. So you probably would expect to see a little bit of that, I think, tomorrow. I don't know how much. They did talk about how it's difficult to get those kind of guys going early in the season, especially with a new offensive coordinator. But I'd be surprised if we didn't see number nine on the offensive side of the ball at least a little bit. The big thing I think that Whitehead's looking to improve from last year is last year it was enough that he knew what he was doing on every snap, and now they're trying to make sure he knows what everybody else is doing around him so he can be that much more of a problem, quite frankly, for the opposing offenses.
And Penn State fans have seen this before because Jabril Peppers obviously played on both sides of the ball for Michigan last year. So it's the same concept, that same kind of athlete in a lot of ways. In watching Pat Narduzzi coach over the years, because I saw him against Penn State as the defensive coordinator at Cincinnati when Mark D'Antonio was there, saw him obviously year after year at Michigan State with Mark D'Antonio, I always felt that he thrived on great corner play, which then allowed him to have incredible flexibility with the other nine guys. How strong is Pitt's corner play?
Yeah, I don't think they have that yet, and I think that's the biggest issue right now. That's another reason I think a lot of people thought you'd see Whitehead play corner because of exactly what you just said. And they got a big cornerback recruit this year that's a true freshman out of Pittsburgh Central Catholic, DeMar Hamlin, but he hasn't gotten on the field yet either. He's sort of trusting his veterans right now. He's got a junior and a senior, Avante Maddox, who is challenge size-wise. Maddox is a 5'9 guy. You see these guys all over college football, the tough, small corners, but they are small and they can get tested deep. And Penn State, I think, is going to get a lot of one-on-ones outside, and they should be able to take advantage of it at least from time to time. And Ryan Lewis is playing on the other side. You may remember his uncle, Tim Lewis, was a cornerback for Pitt as well, played in the NFL for a long time and is still coaching in the NFL. But Ryan Lewis is a guy who's a fifth-year senior. He's just now starting. He's never really seen a ton of time. He's probably a guy that can also be tested deep, I think, Steve. So again, Villanova, you know, didn't really have the personnel to do that stuff. That's going to face three big tests starting tomorrow, and I think those cornerbacks are going to get the bulk of those tests, at least defensively. And it wouldn't surprise me if you do see a veteran move out of that starting spot and one of these younger guys move in, but I think right now it's just a little bit too early to do that. You know how coaches love experience, and I think that's what Narduzzi's going with now. But as far as the Narduzzi defense that people are used to seeing, I just don't think it has the depth or maybe the personnel yet at cornerback, at least the experienced personnel, to do exactly what he wants to do.
Finally, on Chris Blewett, he's a good kicker. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He wouldn't be one of the top five scorers in the history of the school if you weren't. But he was last week just a tough week? I mean, I know it was the third kick in his career he's had blocked, too, so it wasn't the first time he's ever had a kick blocked, and then the other one slid wide right. Just a bad week or a concern?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he had such a good season most of the way last year, but he didn't finish strong. The last two or three games he started to miss some kicks, and again, you're going to see guys miss kicks. But sure. I think part of it is how you miss it. The kick that was blocked last week was not blocked behind the scrimmage. I think that was probably the most concern. Coaches is that kick was beyond the line of scrimmage before it got blocked. It was a very low kick. Now, I don't know if he tried to drive that one after missing, you know, after pushing the first one wide right. I honestly don't know. But he has been prone to inconsistencies, you know, over a game or two stretch during his career. I would assume Pitt is hoping that game or two stretch is coming to an end, because it's probably been about three games at this point where he has been inconsistent, dating back to the last couple of games last year.
Always a pleasure. I can't wait to catch up and see you face-to-face tomorrow, Tony. Thanks for everything, and have a good time this weekend. And again, happy birthday from us to you.
Well, thank you. Have a safe trip, and I will see you tomorrow.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Back with more in a moment, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, now, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. I said, Tony has a primary beat. He wrote for the Pittsburgh Sports Report. He'll cover the Penguins, he'll cover the Steelers, and he'll cover the Pirates. He has a really good handle on all of them. But his primary beat happens to be covering Pitt football and basketball. So, and thus, he was the perfect guy to have on to talk about all of this leading into the game. Give everybody, I think, a really rock-solid preview of Pitt. You know, you just have to talk analytically about what's going on and strip the emotion out of it, because in the end, it's still going to be a game. As emotional as people are going to get about this, and they're going to be on the edge of their seats, and I understand all that. But it's still a game, and because it's still a game, you have to strip out that part and get to the nuts and bolts. Who do they have? What do they do? What's good? What's good on the spacecraft? What's bad on the spacecraft? And we'll go from there. In the end, it all comes down to matchups. Matchups, as I mentioned many times, are not talked about enough. And when you look at, some of the analytics on this team, and what got me the last week was when you look at the analytics on them, against Villanova, they didn't get much yardage off the edge, off the tackles. And then you look at the center-guard combination, but especially center-left guard, that's where they did a lot of damage last week. That combination, center and left guard, worked really well for Pitt. Penn State needs to control that. It's going to be a lot on Kevin Givens and Parker Cothran and Robert Windsor and Antoine White and Tyrell Chavis. That five-man rotation right there is going to have to be really good against that combination tomorrow. Passing-wise, Peterman last week only attempted 9 passes beyond 10 yards. He only completed 3 of them. And under pressure last week, when he was pressured, he was 4 of 9 passing. And again, it was Villanova, which is a really good FCS team. But still, I think against an FCS team, you expect a little bit better than 28-7. I know Bob was saying, he says, 16-13 Penn State over Kent State at halftime, and Bob was right. And the big part was the turnover that gave Kent State that touchdown, that fumble recovery. Penn State got that right back to start the second half. And in fact, the defense, after the third series of the game, didn't give up a single point in the game. And I thought that ended up being really important for Penn State. I don't know what this means. We'll find out. Over the years, usually I've had a pretty good feel watching practice, but it's not perfect, obviously. But I thought they had a really good week in practice. I thought yesterday was, and we'll find out if it translates 48 hours out. I don't know. But they were really sharp yesterday. We'll see. Usually it's a good sign. Not perfect. So, by the way, Carolina last night in Denver, Cam Newton got hit in the helmet four times last night. There was only one penalty called, and that ended up being offsetting. And Gene Steratore, as you know, I have a lot of respect for Gene, is a really good referee, and for whatever reason, that's too much. Four hits and three of them uncalled is too much.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Stock up for the weekend. We had the appetite a bit wet last night by Carolina and Denver. NFL this weekend. Lots of college football this weekend. Wine coolers, waters, soft drinks, snacks. Peanuts are fresh, hot, roasted every week. The bags are right there at the register, and the pickle bar is second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for the sports bozo of the day. Charleston Southern is going to suspend 30 players for tomorrow's game against Florida State. Why? Well, they're going to suspend 30 players because you are given a stipend to go to the bookstore and buy books and or supplies to help further your education. The 30 of them spent the stipend on other things. It is an NCAA violation. Thus, they are suspended for tomorrow's game against Florida State. So they go from being a 37.5-point underdog to who knows what. We don't know which I don't know which 30 got suspended. I don't know how many starters there are. It could be freshmen that are redshirting or maybe 10 or 15. I don't know. But they were massive underdogs to begin with. I'm no expert. I don't think it helps. Now we bring in,
speaking of experts,
the Mystic from the East. The Mystic from the East, my brother Kevin, by the way, and Sean can confirm this, we had a lot of positive comments on his initial appearance last week, just none of them were from family members.
We pulled him away from watching Judge Judy, by the way.
It's a good
of course
one.
We did. Oh, good.
No, it's about a basketball player. It's pretty good.
I don't want to ruin your experience here.
No, it is a good one. I don't know about basketball.
He went 7-2 last week. We went 5-4. So now he's built this cushion. So now we're going to get to it. We're going to start with Iowa and Iowa State. Long season, brother. There's plenty of time to come back just because you scored a touchdown in the opening possession.
Well, especially this week. These games are hard.
For all we know, you're Ole Miss in against Florida State. We don't know.
No, I took Florida State for sure. Remember, Sean?
I know you did. Huh? All right.
Yep, he did.
Yeah, I took Florida State.
He did. All right, now Iowa is playing Iowa State. This is one of those. It's a Cy Hawk Trophy game. The they have to play each other. It's mandated, non-conference game. Iowa ranked 16th. Iowa State lost to an FCS team last week. And the Mystic picks.
Who, me?
Yeah.
That would be you.
Okay. Well, Iowa whipped up on Miami pretty good. And they gained over 400 yards, but they gave up over 400 yards, too. So, but I think they'll tighten it up. Iowa State lost to Northern Iowa, which you can't lose that game if you're Iowa State. So I got Iowa by 15.
15, wow, 15. What do you think, Sean?
I'm taking Iowa as well.
I think Iowa's going to end up being really, really good. And Iowa State, I think, is going to be a middle-of-the-pack Big 12 team. I think Iowa wins the game big. Illinois against North Carolina. Illinois won its opener big. North Carolina lost its opener. Again, I will let you go first.
Okay. Well, shocking to me, Lovie Smith is Illinois' coach. So, he's not a lot of NFL coaches drop back down and coach college. He's a good coach.
Right.
He's got a very good defense, but, I mean, they whipped up on Murray State. So, they did that last year, too. Their offensive right. line is very weak. North Carolina is really teed off of what happened last week. And I believe North Carolina had a chance to win that game. And I think they've got too much talent for Illinois. And I got Illinois by 15. I'm sorry, North Carolina by 15. So,
yeah. Go ahead, Sean.
I'm taking North Carolina as well.
I think Illinois is, I don't care if Lovie Smith's coaching them or not, the quarterback, Wes Lund, is very good. Great arm. He's going to get a look at the next level. But they aren't good enough for this game. They're going to lose by 3 touchdowns. North Carolina is just a much better program at this point than Illinois is. What's interesting, though, is that game is in Champaign, though. And they're going to have 50,000 fans there for the game. And as someone who's been around the Illinois situation a lot, that's a really big day for them to get 50,000 fans into that stadium for a game. So there'll be a lot of emotion there, but I think North Carolina is just better.
Well, especially the last couple of years in Champaign, there's been a lot of empty seats, even the student section, too.
Oh, believe me, I did the game in there, a couple of years ago. Sean, it was unbelievable. The student section, I kid you not, the student section had maybe 150 to 200 students in it. That was it.
Wow. That's like UConn.
Now, yeah, I mean, it's like basketball, the Orange Crush, everything sold out. Football,
right.
No. That's why tomorrow is a big day for them.
Do you think Lovie Smith will
Tennessee,
have an impact?
Down the road he will, Kevin, as long as but he's going to have to be able. The only question I ever have about pro coaches, it really is not that hard to draft. It's hard
right.
to recruit.
Right. All college sports.
And that's the big
all
part.
About recruiting.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's where Jim Harbaugh has been great. He goes to the pros, he drafts, he recruits in college. That's why it's been a big plus for him.
Right, right.
All right. Bristol International Raceway.
That's pretty
better
wild.
Than 150,000 people on hand. For Tennessee and Virginia Tech. All right. Go ahead, Judge Judy fan.
All right. Virginia Tech's one of them funny teams where they're kind of living on past success. You know?
Agreed.
You know, it's a name. It's Virginia Tech. You know, it's that idiot with the dogs. They both played really weak opponents last week.
Mike, you want to say Michael Vick, right?
Yeah, I don't even want to say his name. He never belonged back in the NFL. Anyway, Appalachian State is a tough team. I believe, again, the more talent thing. Tennessee just has more talent, and will win by 10 points, I believe. So, but that is going to be a wild scene at that racetrack. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm done.
I'm going to take, even though it's in Tennessee, Virginia Tech's the home team, from what I heard. They're taking a home game away from them, I heard.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
Yeah, the deal is with that. But, yeah, I heard Virginia Tech's, they're going to be wearing these one-off jerseys with stone helmets tomorrow and the classic Tennessee orange. I'm going with Tennessee.
Good pick.
All right. Tennessee is, I think, good offensively, not great. But I think you two know how well I know Bob Shoup, Tennessee's defensive coordinator. I mean, I was around Bob here for 2 years. Lost in what happened in the Appalachian State game was how well Tennessee played defensively in that game.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll shut him down. I think they'll win by 14 points. Tennessee wins it.
Good picks.
See, if we keep picking all the same games,
I win.
That's why at some point we're going to have to take a chance here on something. We're going to have to take a chance on something.
That's what I did. That's what I did week one last week. Yeah. Leonard got me with Oklahoma.
I mean, look. Yeah. I picked Houston in that game. I know that one. I got right.
Both of you did. Yeah.
Okay. The SEC does a good job of staggering their schedule where you feel like they have a game every week that's a game and it's a conference game.
Mm-hmm.
Mississippi State will take on South Carolina. Interesting.
Yeah.
This one's a tough call.
And again, it's the same team, same thing. Neither team played well last week. So you don't have a lot to go by. Mississippi State lost to Southern Alabama. South Carolina beat, a weak Vanderbilt team, but barely. But a tough Mississippi State defense is going to overrule South Carolina's very weak offense. This is not the same offense they've had year after year. And there's a reason why Steve Spurrier left. They don't have the talent anymore. And I just believe Mississippi State wins, and they win easily. So
I got the Bulldogs,
Ben,
too.
Yeah. John?
Bulldogs.
Perfect.
All right. I believe the game's in Columbia, right? At Williams-Brice Stadium?
It is at Mississippi State.
Oh, it's at Mississippi State.
Correct.
They made South Carolina go on the road for the first two conference games? Wow.
At least according to the score app, they have it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yep.
What the heck. I'll take South Carolina. Somebody's got to be different around here. Will Muschamp.
That's not a bad
pick. I mean, Will Muschamp.
South Carolina's won the last seven times they played.
Yeah. I mean, no Dak Prescott there anymore. Will Muschamp, good defensive mind. He knows something about Mississippi State because they're in the same division as Auburn, and Auburn had to face them last year. I'll go with South Carolina.
Good pick.
Arkansas against TCU, or as the Sioux would call them, Arkansas. Arkansas, TCU.
Arkansas is a grind-and-pound team. They want to run the ball. They want to run it down your throat. TCU is going to throw the ball 50 times. Kenny Hill is going to light it up. And if Arkansas falls behind, they can't catch up. And I think they're going to fall behind, and they're going to lose the game. I got TCU by 21.
Wow. John appears stunned.
Well, TCU last week, they were... They had to keep up with the South Dakota State Jackrabbits, and they gave up 461 yards in total defense. TCU.
South Dakota's really good.
Yeah, watch out for them Jackrabbits. But I'm taking TCU.
I'm taking Arkansas. I think they're going to go out. I think Brett Bielema has finally put together a team in the mold he wants. Exactly what Kevin talked about. Big offensive line, attack you, wear you down. The difference will be, can Arkansas's defense hold up? And I think they can. I'm going to pick Arkansas to win.
Really gutsy pick.
You're the man. Yeah, I'm gutsy. Oh, yeah.
Get
oh,
those
yeah.
Two
yeah
I'm out there. Back is what you want to do.
Hey, look, I'm like a kite dancing in a hurricane. All right. So, Penn State and Pitt, Heinz Field. Let's just get it out of the way. I'll go first. Everyone knows darn well I'm picking Penn State. Go ahead. I know where the bread's buttered. I'm going Penn State all the way. I'm all in.
Are you sure?
I'm sure of it. Absolutely. I'm driving there tonight after my baseball playoff game. I'm going. I'm going to go to the game.
Go ahead, Sean.
I'm going to take Penn State as well.
Yeah, I got Penn State also. I think Kent State was better than people thought. Kent State's defense was very good. And Penn State was able to hang in there and win big. Penn State's going to win the kicking game. And I got Penn State by 2 points. And it would be a little bit more, but Pittsburgh's playing at home.
How about an over-under 0.5 number of tackles Joe Julius gets?
Hey, now, do you realize last week Joe Julius had 7 kickoffs in the game?
Wow.
6 of them were touchbacks, which, by the way, against Quadri Henderson's huge. Henderson is an outstanding returner for Pitt. He took one back 96 last week against Villanova, and it's not the first time he's done it. But Julius had 7 kickoffs, 6 were touchbacks last week. The only one returned was the one where he belted the guy in the tackle.
Wow. That was great hearing Jack laugh next to you in the booth. Love that.
Oh, I know. When that happened, we were the two of us were almost in hysterics watching it.
I don't think Pitt's very good, so I think Penn State went easier than I said. I mean, they only averaged 2 yards last week against Villanova, you know.
I was surprised by that because they really have built it around an experienced offensive line and James Conner. Mm. And Conner, I just don't know, after an MCL last year and then, of course, trying to overcome, you know, obviously cancer, which obviously takes so much, chemotherapy takes so much out of you.
Oh, my God.
You
got to
wonder about where his timing is. Now, maybe he gets his timing back this week because I went through the analytics. They had no yardage last week off the edges or the tackles, but they did do a pretty good job in that center guard combination. Mm. And Peterman only tried 9 passes over 10 yards last week. That really, throwing deep is not his MO. And with Tyler Boyd now playing for the Bengals, not sure about that part, but the question is whether Penn State can generate a steady offense against what I think is a pretty good Pitt defense.
I think they will. I think they will.
All right.
Did they play the
upbeat
offense?
Yeah, I think it's a mix, though. He runs 4 tempos.
Yeah.
There are times for it. You know, remember Peyton Manning. How many times did Peyton Manning in his career huddle? Never. But how many times in a no-huddle did Peyton Manning run the play clock under 5?
Right.
A lot.
Yeah.
You know, so you can no-huddle, yeah, and just kind of make that team just wait, what are you doing? And then there are other times you just get there and you go. So you change up. If you can change up tempo and get them guessing, that becomes an important factor for you.
Right. No, I like that move. So, I'd be interesting to see. I was pretty amped to watch them, and they weren't on here. So, I don't know.
Well, Kevin, you're going to have to set your DVR for Friday at 4:30 for Judge Judy so you can spend more time with us. Sorry.
She's my girl. God, she's mean. Holy mackerel. She reminds me of Mom.
Oh, jeez. Oh, no. Oh.
No nonsense. She starts yelling at you. You want to curl up in a ball. I told her once, I'd rather you hit me with a bat than yell at me. I just can't take it.
And another slice of insight into our home life.
Save some more for next week.
Well, she worked in a prison
my
was
parents.
75, so...
Oh, yeah. And believe me, they feared her.
Oh, absolutely.
They did. The inmates feared her.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I mean, Chris Baker of the Redskins, his dad worked with my mom.
Yeah,
okay.
He was at the last memorial
and he said, they feared her.
Well,
and I said, we know.
Well, it's because it was like their grandmother yelling at them, and most of them were raised by their grandmothers. So they were like, so if anybody laid a hand on her, the prisoners would kill them. But
no.
Did she ever tell
nonsense.
You about the time the guy exposed himself?
Oh, no, I don't know. No, I don't think we want to get into that.
She wrote him up.
Of course she did.
Stole her pen.
Stole her pen, wrote him up. Oh, Sean, you get more out of this segment than you ever realized.
It's turning into my favorite out of the entire week. Love it.
Oh, okay. I mean, you know darn well Mark Lawrence is listening to this and Kelly, and they're both laughing their backsides off.
And the Chief.
All right. And the Chief. The Chief's loving it, too. Hey, Kev, believe it or not, all this is sponsored, so we have to take a break.
Okay. I'll talk to you guys next week.
You betcha.
Good luck.
Look for the dramatic finish to Judge Judy. Good luck. All right. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
Okay, I have to freely admit, this is the first time I've ever heard Mom compared to Judge Judy. <It's>... There might be too much insight in the show.
It's only week two of the picks.
Oh, I mean, if people felt they always wanted to know more about me and my life.
It's happening, whether you want it or not.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's noon tomorrow. We're on beginning at 10:30. And, hey, look, let's take this from a football perspective and take the emotion out of it. It's a really good second game for Penn State to see where you are. What kind of progress did you make from game one to game two? What kind of progress are you making as a program? So regardless, it is that kind of opponent that you're playing, not a great opponent, but a good opponent on their field. So that's what I'm looking for tomorrow. I'm looking at a more clinical football point of view than the emotion of the rivalry point of view. Because in the end, that's how I think I have to look at it. I think you have to take I have to take the emotion out of it. And look at it, okay, where are they and where is the program right now? So let's see what happens tomorrow at noon. Jack, Derek, and I on beginning at 10:30 tomorrow.
We are your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.